all day as they typically am when I come and all that, but it'll be all right. We've been going to the nursing homes and all that, and we went this Tuesday, and we had a great time with the folks over there, you know, and just trying to get them prepared to, you know, this is Thanksgiving, to be thankful for what God's done for us, not only just this past year, but, you know, throughout our lives and all that, and they've been really receptive to it and all that, and then we went today, as we went to the Yorktown place, and we had 14 folks there, and I was ready to close the doors on that place, and all we had 14 of them there today, so we're really, God's really blessed, and while we were there today, and those ladies and one man was there, and we just had a real good time of fellowship together, and just worshiping the Lord, and just remembering how good God is, and all that. And then we had another blessing. We decided not to go to the Garden of Warwick anymore. It's a big, humongous facility, and it takes a lot of walking and stuff like that. And we wasn't getting the attendance and all that, so I had prayed about it for probably a good 6 months or longer, maybe longer. So I sent her an email that says we're not going to bring a formal Christmas or a formal church service to them and all that, because we just wasn't getting participation and all that. And she called me today and says, I got your email. And it says, you know, that was just an answer to her prayer, that because I said we would go out on one of our Saturday outreaches, we would go over there. She says, that's what I've been wanting somebody to do, was to come over on Saturdays to visit the people individually instead of, you know, corporately and all that. And so she's going to give us a list of people to be that need visits or maybe need to have special needs and all that. So God is really blessed, you know, and all that, you know, and it was just really a blessing to see how he's working in, you know, and the nursing homes keep us busy. I know we stay on the go, and we've been doing a lot of visitation in them and all that. So, you know, it's if we're faithful to God, you know, he's going to bless. And that's all we have to remember, that we got to be faithful to him. And you know, as we've gotten older, there are certain things we can't do that we used to can do, but God's made a way for us to get out and still do some of the things that we enjoy doing and stuff like that. And speaking of that, if nobody's doing anything Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we're going to meet at Burger King and have breakfast, and then those tracks that the pastor was just talking about and stuff like that. Emily's in the parade. So while we're waiting for her school to come around, we're going to be handing out tracts or anything and all that. And we got some of the flyers for the Christmas cantata and all that. So if anybody's interested, you can meet us there. And every time we've had them, I mean, like you were saying, it don't take long. We have a box full. I think she said there was 100. I'll bet you within 30 minutes they'll all be gone and the papers we have and all that. So if anybody's interested, it's just a fun time. Again, we drink coffee and watch the folks come by and all the silly things they do when they march and stuff like that. It's fun to watch them and all that. But anyways, if you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 116, last month we went through a lot of the Psalms and stuff like that. And I loved to read about David and Peter, because David and Peter seem to remind me of my own personality and a lot of things that I go through. And, you know, and I put my foot in my mouth a lot and stuff like that. So I can relate to him and all that. So, but praise God for his word that we have. And, you know, I was telling the pastor when I left Sunday evening, I says, you know, between what you preach and what Pastor James preached in Sunday school, I don't have nothing to preach about. I mean, because it's like everything they were talking about. You know, I said, what did they come over and look and see what I was reading and stuff like that? Because, and all that. So I just have a few thoughts, you know, about this is Thanksgiving, you know, and that we need to focus our attention on, you know, really let it come from the heart. Let people see what we are truly thankful about us and all that. And I'm going to get ahead of myself, so let me calm down here a little bit. So, but again, you know, again, this is Thanksgiving, and again, it's a reflection of this time of the year that we set aside in that fourth Thursday in November just to reflect on what we're thankful for. Now, what is the world thankful for? But us as Christians, we should be so thankful how God works in our lives and all he does and all that, you know. And so, you know, and we should be in awe at all the marvelous works that he does and stuff like that. So, you know, so how much do you find yourself in thought about how thankful you are towards God, or that how much he's brought into your life for somebody that has crossed paths with you to be a blessing? Or have you been a blessing for somewhere, you know, someone else, you know? And that's such a blessing when we think about that. So again, you know, you know, how thankful are you that God is part of your life? I went 38 years without God in my life, and all that, and, you know, and maybe some of you went even longer and all that. But, you know, I just, you know, I think of the way it was, what I went through and what I was doing to where I am today. And then have you ever thought of the wonders he's done in your life and the blessings you have received from him, not only this year, but again, in times past? You know, and you know, we could just make a list, and that list could go on and on and on. So how about the needs that he's taken care of over the years? And even more important, the prayers that he's answered. Or just, you know, answered, just telling you about some answered prayer there. You know, that all those things that we've lifted up, you know, he's listening to us. You know, and we just have to have that faith that, he's going to answer them, you know, according to his timing or not. So, or how has he brought people into your lives to help you along the way, to guide your path, you know, and all that. So in learning the principles about God, thank God for the pastors we have, the teachers we have, you know, each of you that brings lessons to the children and stuff like, what a blessing that is that we're able to do that, you know, and, you know, so that is truly a blessing. But, you know, a lot of times that we think about all the things that we take things for granted. You know, and when we think that, you know, we should never take God for granted. And I'm not saying you do, but you know, but when we think about God never takes us for granted, we are, each one of us is number one to him. So, you know, when we think about that, so again, you know, we could go on and on, you know, thinking about how thankful we are. But unfortunately, again, there are many that, and again, as we say, you know, just take things for granted and all that. You know, so, and Paul tells us in that great book of Thessalonians, I like those because they're short verses and they're easy to memorize and all that. Because I was just talking about Brother James, short-term memory is getting a little shorter and shorter and as time goes on. But, you know, in Philippians 5:18, though, he tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything to give thanks, you know. And, you know, when I look out at the folks there in their nursing homes and I see some of their physical condition, how can I encourage them to give thanks for what they're going through? But you know what? They all have smiling faces. They're raising their hand and doing things, you know. And that's a blessing when we see that. So, you know, again, it's like just the verses start to come to life when you encounter people and see some of the things that they'll tell you and share with you and all that. So, you know, we always must be thankful for the love and compassion God has for each of us as his children, you know. That is beyond, I guess, really our comprehension, how much that he really loves us and all that. So we must have that mindset of prayer and give everything and thanks. You know, we need to pray about everything and all that. And I know I've heard this many times, you know, don't be anxious for anything, pray for everything, and be thankful for what he gives us. You know, I always say I have exactly what God gives me. You know, and you know, if, as long as I keep that attitude and all, God continues to bless and work in our lives. And but there was a time, you know, I was wanting to keep up with the Joneses, you know, and you know, that big four-wheel Dodge Tundra sitting out there with 50-inch tires on it. So, you know, that's still kind of number one on my list and all that, but you know, but I know it's never gonna happen because and all that. But again, you know, so we have to keep perspective of those blessings that God gives us. And God has met our needs more gracious than we can really imagine. We see him, but, you know, all the things that we don't see, just imagine what God is doing, you know. You know, and we have to remember it's his will that matters and not ours. You know, he's going to answer his prayers according to what is right for us. And, you know, I was telling him today, I says, what we got to do is, Lord, when you answer this prayer, make sure that I'm in the same in step with you when we're going through this so I can understand and the, you know, all that. So it's important that we understand all these things, you know, about God and all that. And I got a thing I came across that from Charles Spurgeon. It's one of his, it's from an excerpt from one of his sermons. And I want to share it for you. It kind of puts everything in perspective for us. And it goes, in the Christian pilgrimage, it is well that most part to be looking forward to the future, whether it is for hope, joy, consolation, or for inspiring of our love. The future, after all, must be the grand object of the eye of faith. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. And looking for further, yet, the believer's soul can see death's river passed, the gloomy steam forded or passed. He can behold the light on which standeth the celestial city. He sees himself enter within a pearly gates, hailed as more than conqueror, crowned by the hand of Christ, embraced in the arms of Jesus, glorified with him, made to sit together with him on his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with the Father upon his throne. The sight of the future may well relieve the darkness of the past. The hopes of the world to come may banish all the doubtings of the present. Hush my fears. This would be a narrow span, and thou shalt soon have passed. Hush, hush, my doubts. Death is but a narrow stream, thou shalt soon have forded or passed it. Time, how short. Eternity, how long. Death, how brief. Immortality, how endless. And that's what Jesus has done for us when we think about that. I was in awe when I read that, and I read it several times and all that. So, you know, we can see how God is, how God works. You know, and thank the Lord that we have people that help us understand these things, you know, and all that. You know, and we can see his compassion and how much that he loves us. The thing we have to ask ourselves, how much are we loving God back? Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you, and thank you, Lord, for being such a part of us. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we have and your love that is centered around you, Father, and how you share that love with us, Lord, abundantly, Lord, and that you're willing to draw us closer to you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, just bring a calmness about me, Lord, as we talk about this psalm more briefly, Lord, and that we just lift you up in praise, Lord, and that we just be drawn closer to you, Lord, and then as we go into this festive time of the year of Thanksgiving, Lord, that we'll remember to put you first in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, and I say that because one of the things that Pastor James talked about was love. How sometimes we get pretty casual about it, cavalier. You know, love you, honey, like he was saying, you know. Yeah. My daughter calls and we finish our phone call. Love you. See you later, Dad. Love you. You know, we say those things and all that. Then if you go to Psalms 116, the first four words, I love the Lord. When you say that, where is it coming from? Is it coming from your mind? You know, it's just because it's a routine thing that I hear and all that. Or is it coming from here? It's got to come from in here because it comes from God's heart, does it not? You know, and that's why his love is so pure and it's unmatched. You know, and when we think about that and how we should allow that to pattern our own lives and our own thought process about everything that goes on with that. You know, and so when we think about that and whatever we do, what are we to do? We're to glorify God, huh? And that's what Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, and when we think about that again, are you thankful, grateful, and appreciative to the Lord? You know, those are things we have to ask ourselves. And then think about this. Where would you be if God wasn't the center part of your life? You know, I would guess through my past, I would probably be very fortunate if I was standing here. And all that. You know, that's how much God changed, and that's how much God loves us and all that. You know, so you think about David as he reflects on this psalm here, to how he fought the lion when he was a young lad. He fought the lion and a bear. And then he took on to Goliath as a young man. And then when he was anointed king, the king wanted to kill him because David was doing all the right things and he was doing all the wrong things and all that. So, you know, so David, you know, when you think about how he's reflecting on, then think about all the many battles that he won, stuff like how God was with him and all that. All those times that he may have been near death, but God was with him. And then even when he committed adultery and murder, God was still with him. You know, and David went through that because I always say that when David was in that 10 years, that was his learning process for him. That's when God was teaching him and stuff. You know, so again, even at the end of his life, when his own sons turned on him, you know, and that grieved him. And then when his son died, that, you know, I can't imagine, you know, losing a child, but what he went through. But David did was want this. David wasn't perfect, but he sure knew and loved his God.
Yes, he did.
You know, and that's what we have to understand, you know. And then you think about You know, Jesus and the 12 disciples, they walked with him, well, for 3 years. And think of all the things, you know, and they still questioned and doubted and ran and hid. But Jesus still loved them. And even that night they had the Passover, they sang a praise. And that praise, many think, was Psalms 116. So again, Jesus was grateful to the Father. He reverenced and honored the Father as we should reverence him each day of our lives. So in Psalms 116, verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. God, just think, the God of the universe who created all of us is leaning over, this is Dan's interpretation, is leaning over just waiting to hear from me. What's keeping me from speaking to him and all? You know, so we all want to be loved. We all want our prayers answered and stuff like that. And, you know, and we have to remember what God has done. Think about the four words again. I love the Lord. When I talk to him, is it coming from here and I'm just kind of running through a bunch of prayer requests? I mean, or is it coming from here? You know, and this is when we pray, and I'm guilty of it. You know, I'll have that prayer request, and I'll sit at my desk, and I'll go through and all that. You know, but, I mean, was it coming from my heart, or was I just going through the motions? And I think I mentioned that a while back. You know, we don't want to just go through the motions. We want it to mean something, you know. You know, when it starts meaning something, and that love of God starts enveloping us, guess what? When Pastor James says, we need to do this, we're going to do it. Because the love of God is stirring in our hearts. Well, right now, many of us, and the two included, we're having a battle right here. You know, and so, well, you know, there's a scripture that says that we have to die to ourselves, is it not? Take up our cross and carry it. That's what we need to be doing, those types of things. So, you know, and then, you know, the more we do stuff like that, then when we say, I love the Lord, I always try to end my prayers and I always say, Lord, you know, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but, you know, I don't want it to be routine-ish.
That's right.
You know, again, I want it to come from my heart, you know, and that I say, you know, because God, when it comes from God, he means it's coming from his heart. So, you know, he's prepared an eternal home for us where we'll be with him one day. So, you know, man, there's something to really think. That's the love of God that he did. He didn't have to do that. You know, and he did that through who? His only begotten Son. Think about that. His only begotten Son. That he did that, you know. And then he even sent a helper to help us to understand this.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and the Holy Spirit. You know, and then think of that no one deserves any of this, but that unconditional love that he has. Yeah. That unmatched love that he has, that grace, that love that he shows us every day.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality of God working in our lives. You know, only God is worthy of our praise. You know, and it bothers me. You know, a lot of times they always say, you know, thank you for this. And it's not me. That's all God. You know, that's God doing it. Give him the praise.
Yeah.
You know, we're just instruments of it, you know, and all that. So, again, we need to think about how much you love the Lord. And the second part of that verse we talks about again, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. What are our prayers like? You know, Paul tells us again, one of them short verses I really like, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Amen. Does it get much simpler than that?
No, sir.
You know, and that's what we need to do. You know, many of us don't pray simply because we have a lack of faith. You know, I'll call the pastor. He'll pray for me. I know he will. Pastor James, will you pray for me? But you know what? We can get in touch with God just like he can. Just like he can. But you know what? If we don't have that willingness to do that, you know, so God's saying, well, why don't you have, you know, I'm here. Sit down and have a talk. You know, so again, when we think about that, and then we can let the busyness of our day interfere. I remember twice, I was sitting praying, doing my thing, and ring, ring, Pastor James on the telephone. What are you doing, Brother Dan? I was praying, but now I'm not. And it couldn't have been the next day. And it was a different time of the day. What are you doing, Brother Dan? I was praying again. So again, what do you have to do? Turn your telephone off.
Yeah.
Go find that quiet spot somewhere. Get alone with the Lord, you know, and talk with him. You know, and we don't always have to lift up all our prayer requests. He knows them. But, you know, when was the last time you just talked with the Lord?
Amen.
Lord, you know, this is what's on my heart. You know, my family's struggling. You know that, Lord. What is it I can do to help them see Christ again and stuff like that? Those are the kinds of conversations God wants to have with us.
Yeah.
You know, and then when we can get to our prayer request and those types of things, you know, then, man, God will, you know, those, you'll see God will, and he works a lot. We hear the testimonies here of God works, but, you know, that's what God's looking for. He's leaning over, remember? He's looking over and saying, when are you going to start talking to me? And all that. So again, when we think about it, if you say that you love the Lord, then you need to be talking with him. If you love your spouse or your friend or your family, what do you do with them? Talk. Some of you don't. But, you know, but when you talk to the Lord, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. You know. And that's what it's all, you know, that's what it's about, is doing those types of things and all that. And then we go to verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Wow. Is that not an invitation right now to start talking with God?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, God is waiting to hear from us. He's leaning over, like I said, and consider what David went through in his life. He always trusted God for the outcome. You know, we don't always have to be asking to give stuff like that, but, you know, we need to be praising God. And do you have faith that God is going to answer your prayers? That's what you got to have, that faith. He's Almighty God. He's the creator of everything. He can do everything. Well, if you believe that, then why do you doubt that he can answer your prayers? You know, so, we have to have that's what that personal relationship is within, you know. That we have that one-on-one. He's waiting for that one-on-one time and all that. So having faith goes a long ways, especially in trusting God for some things, for everything. Amen. So he knows about us, and so I would suspect that he knows what's best for each of us and each situation we may be in. David surely trusted God. As we said, David wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't perfect.
That's right.
But they trusted God, and God, you know, used them in a mighty way, you know. And again, you know, we hear about, you know, whether Jesus talks about, you know, if God takes care of the sparrows, is he going to take care of you? He surely will. Are we not more important than the spirit?
Right.
We're made in his image.
That's right.
So think about that. So again, you know, we have to understand, talk with God, set specific times set aside for him. Find a prayer closet. Find somewhere. Things that we've heard, we've talked about this over and over and over. Many of you probably heard from when you was a child. But are we doing it? You know, there's that time when you have your prayer closet where you just talk with God. Then you can have that time, you know, where you lift off the prayer request up for the church and you pray for one another and stuff like that. And then there's walking around prayers, where when you're walking around and, you know, a funeral goes by, Lord, be with that family out there, that's that funeral,
yeah,
or something like that, or you see an ambulance go by or something like that. Or somebody comes up and says, yeah, can you pray for me? And you pray for them right there on the spot. Yeah, so that's what I call walking around prayers. Those are just things, you know, again, all that helps you stay in tune with God, does it not?
Yes, sir.
And that's what it's about. You know, but guess what? If we start getting off on a wrong step, say we stray off that straight and narrow step, what are we to do? We're to go back to him and ask for forgiveness, are we not?
Yeah.
Is he willing to forgive you? Buddy? I got your attention yet? You need to repent. And then let's get back on track. You know, and that's what he wants us to do, is to do those things again. You know, because, you know, that's an example that we're being to the world, that they're seeing Christ working within us. You know, that's I always tell the folks that we need to be that picture of Christ. Somehow let the people see Christ working, because when that happens, then that's going to open the doors for the, some of the things that we want. And all of a sudden, that shyness that we might have, it'll be boldness. Because you see God working, and it gives you that confidence and all that. So again, we need to make sure that we're praying and all that. And then verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble in my sorrows. David was constantly in danger of losing his life, but since he knew God, God was with him, David was comforted with the thought that whatever he was facing, God was with him. Amen? What does a person who doesn't have Jesus, what do they have? What are they facing? They are facing nothing. They are facing a separation from God. Where we get to spend eternity. They're going to be separated for eternity from him. And all that. When was the last time that you asked God, and I remember a preacher told us this, to give me a glimpse of hell? Now that's an unusual prayer request, but you know what? If we see that and we can understand what God's talking about there, you know, then we'll be more on track of living the life and doing those things that God wants us to do. You know, Jesus faced all the pains of death, and he knew he would defeat death on that third day after he was placed in the tomb of the resurrection. He had that confidence in God. And we need to know we have that same confidence. Amen? A physical death, it is inevitable for everyone. But a spiritual death is a choice. Think of that. Have you ever thought of all the many dangerous situations one faces in a day? The one that comes to mind is those highways right out there. How close to death are we out there on those highways? Think about that. I share this. A coworker of mine, when I worked at Liebherr, he was a good friend. We worked together on nights. He was a welder. I was an assembler and all that. And my son came over, and we had heard about a shooting in Smithfield at a 7-Eleven. Well, that good friend's son was shot that night, and he was 21 years old. The individual that shot him was 19 years old. Well, you know, and what? You know, when we hear about those types of things, you know, we have to we need to have that concern about us. And, you know, what is our world going? What's happening in our world? It's turning into evil, is it not? And all that. And we see the wickedness before. So again, you know, he didn't choose to die, but you know what? I hope he was saved. I don't know whether he was saved or not. And all. So again, you know, those are choices that we, you know, when we think about that, you know, those dangers that we face every day. I think just even this week there was, what, 2 or 3 different shootings around the country and stuff. So, you know, what says it won't come here? Hopefully it won't. But death can be a worrisome for an unbeliever, but for the Christians it's the next step into meeting Christ. We get to see him. You know, and that's what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Another very familiar verse. The latter part of the verse. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Can you think of anything better than that? So again, it's important that we understand these things. And, you know, death is all around us. And we need to be ready to step into eternity. But then we also need to have that concern for others, that they too can go with us. Amen? So again, and then verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. When David was experiencing agony beyond description, he called upon the Lord. He beseeched him. I mean, he outwardly said, beg, asking God to work in his life. Yeah. And God's up there saying, well, what took you so long to ask? I've been waiting for you to ask. Amen? So many believe they can't ask the Lord for help because of the way they live their lives. Well, get right with God. As we said earlier, really none of us can really go before God, but what Christ did for us, he's made a way for us. Amen? We must remember that Jesus paid the sin debt and opened the door to God's throne so we can go to him with our requests. Hebrews 4:16.
Let us therefore come boldly. That I mean just hesitantly or, you know, once a week. But he says, well, boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Wow. Here, Almighty God, the one that we said that we loved at the beginning, is waiting again and wants to help us. We also must remember to go to God for forgiveness and ask for that. God is holy and can't look upon sin, and he doesn't see us. Aren't you glad of that? Who does he see? He sees the righteousness of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and all that. So when we have that personal relationship with Jesus, we are forgiven of everything, and the Holy Spirit helps us to see the sin that's in our life, so we can go to him in repentance. You know, little sins to us, little white lies and all, that could be okay. But to God, that's just as serious as somebody that murdered somebody. And we have to understand that. You know, sin is sin to God. There's no levels of it. And, you know, and so again, we have to understand this. So God has delivered us like David from many of our trials and sorrows. And David lost a young son and an adult child. He underwent many squabbles, but God helped him through each one. He was with him. You know, and you know, a lot of times we have to go through lessons to get our attention. Now, if you think about the Apostle Paul, what happened to the Apostle Paul? You know, a very learned man, powerful man. You know, knew the scriptures and all that. But God had to get his attention. So what happened? He got knocked off his horse. And God put him in a position where he would see Jesus. God did that to me. After I made a mess of my life and all that, I was down looking up. And then he says, now I got your attention. And he has to do that a lot of the times, you know. And it may not be for salvation. It can be minor things. And maybe we get off track and all that. But we have to remember, we have victory in Jesus. Have you claimed that today?
Amen.
Have you begged God to deliver your soul and to those closest to you? That's going back to that prayer thing we was talking about. Are we begging God? Will you intervene in my family's life? Will you intervene in my friends' lives and all that, Father? He may be already working. But you know what? When we ask him, that may help a little bit more. You know, and that's what we have to, you know, and we have to let those around us, you know, let them know that we are praying for them and stuff. And verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, God is merciful.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that only God is good. No one else can even come close. There are many today that think they're good, and that's a deception from the devil himself. Amen. Amen. So when we see those three character traits there, what is graciousness? What would you consider graciousness? I got kindness and giving. Isn't God kind and isn't he giving? How about righteousness? That's God is just, is he not? And he's upright in everything he does. And then that mercifulness.
Amen.
You know, he's loving, he's patient. That long suffering that we were talking about in Sunday school and all, that's God. Because if he wasn't long suffering, that is a fact. So again, all these character traits and more were displayed throughout Jesus' life, and especially when he was on the cross. God is just and fair in all that he does and is very compassionate. How does someone experience the victory Jesus has won for each of us? How do we experience that victory? How do we live that life? What are we doing? You know, what are we doing for the Lord? Well, Sunday we'll say it's 9 to 12, out the door, I'm out of here. Get on the couch, football game, race, whatever it might be, movie, whatever. What are we doing for the Lord? You know, how can you demonstrate that you're having a victory if we're not living the way he wants us to? Yeah, well, I don't cuss and I don't drink and I don't do all. Well, that's great. And that's what he wants us to do.
But that's baby stuff.
Yeah.
We need to open this and get into the meat. Take that step forward for God. When we do that. And then we understand, I was reading today, and God really blessed me, about the cup. What is that cup that Jesus was asking God to take away? That's in Luke 22, 42, I think it is. What is that cup? And that's why I'm looking forward to the Lord's Supper this coming Thursday, or Tuesday, next Tuesday. That cup is all the sorrows, all the things, you know, that we did was placed in that, all the judgment and stuff that was placed in that cup. This is Dan's interpretation now. But that's what's in there. You know, and Jesus, even in his human form, he didn't want to face the wrath of God, but he knew that's why he came. And he said, Father, your will be done, not mine. And his will was done. And then what happened? Love, joy, peace. All that was filled in that cup. And that's the cup that he gives us. That forgiveness that's in there. So do we have a lot to be thankful for? So when Thanksgiving comes, do we need to be praising God? No. I challenge each of you, when you each go to your supper table, dinner table, pick a song. Or pick some scripture. And read just a few verses to let everybody hear how good God is and how much he loves. And if we can do that, I think God will really work in a mighty way in our lives. And, you know, and he'll open our hearts. We need to open it up. You know, we're holding on too tight. As they say in the movie, was that Top Gun? They're holding on too tight. Well, let it go. Open it up and let God in there. Because he's waiting. I'm going to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you again for the truth that within your word. Lord, thank you for loving us, Lord. And just help us to go about our days, Lord, that would glorify you, to help others see Christ in us, that we could share that wonderful news of what Jesus did for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for my Christian brothers and sisters that are here. And Lord, just thank you, Lord, for all that goes on here at Sharon. Help us to be a light and a beacon in this community for Christ's sake, Lord, and that we could just help many come to Christ. In his name I do pray. Amen.